Let us turn in God's Word to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10, and we are here hearing God's Word, remembering what happened in the flood and what happened after the flood and God's covenant that He made with Noah. Genesis chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. Now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Teras. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Rephath, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan were Elishah, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. From these, the coastland peoples of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to his language, according to their families, into their nations. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Raama, and Saptica, and the sons of Raama were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, and therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of this kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calna, in the land of Shinar. From that land he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Ir, Kala, and Rezin between Nineveh and Kala, that is the principal city. Mizraim begot Ludim, Anamim, Lahabim, Naphtahim, Pathrusim, and Kasluhim, from whom came the Philistines and Kaphtorim. Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, and the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, the Sinite, and the Arvadite, the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. Afterward, the families of the Canaanites were dispersed. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as you go toward Gerar, as far as Gaza, then as you go toward Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboim, as far as Lashah. These are the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, and in their nations. And children were born also to Shem, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder. The sons of Shem were Elam, Eshur, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Arphaxad begot Salah, and Salah begot Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided. His brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begot Almadad, Sheleph, Hazarmaveth, Jera, Hadaram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Abimael, Sheba, Ofer, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. And their dwelling place was from Mesha as you go toward Sepher, the mountain of the east. These were the sons of Shem according to their families, according to their languages and their lands, according to their nations. These were the families of the sons of Noah according to their generations and in their nations. And from these the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. And those are God's words. Well, as it was mentioned, the covenant promises to Noah and his family and to us today of that command to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Chapter 10 reveals the beginning of that after the flood, the replenishing of the earth and these families that descended from Noah and his sons. And through verse 5 are the descendants of Japheth. And through verse 20, the sons of the cursed son Ham, of which you'll notice Nimrod for the next chapter. And then the remaining verses, the posterity of Shem. And it's the line of Shem that is last to highlight and focus our attention upon Jesus Christ, who descends from Shem. God's people, we ought to remember not only what we'll see in the next chapter of the Tower of Babel. But even in the promises for Shem and Abraham that are fulfilled in Christ Jesus, again, we see that all the focus of the Scriptures is upon our Redeemer who saves us from our sins, purchasing us by the price of His own blood there at the cross. Even we can learn from these things, even from the genealogies. But the last one is the one that points us to Christ, as it will be in the next chapter, too, at the end of the chapter, even the genealogy there, pointing us to the line that leads us to Jesus Christ, of the seed of the woman who will crush the head of the serpent at the cross. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give You praise this morning. We're thankful even this day for this day of rest, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, where we can rest our souls in You, to hear Your Word, to sing with Jesus Your praises and His praises. And we pray now and ask for Your help in this. We ask for Your blessing to be upon us, that we would remember what we just heard of the truth of the gospel that is found alone in Jesus Christ. That all of us here would believe unto salvation. And the only name by which we must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, help us to, by Your Spirit, to change our wills and call us to Yourself, that we would love You and cherish You and hate sin. As we see mentioned here of Nimrod and the cursed son of Ham and his descendants, Father, we ought to be reminded of our sin and reminded that we're no different. That if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, then every single one of us here would have looked upon the nakedness of our father Noah and his position. So, Father, we ask that You would turn us from that. You would turn us from all of our sins and turn us unto Jesus Christ, Your Son. That we would love You. And upon loving You, we would love our neighbor as ourself. And Father, as we do seek forgiveness, we do hate our sin. We've broken Your commandments, all of them, in thought, word, and deed. Even this very day we have. Father, we ask that You would forgive us and cleanse us and make us as white as snow. Pour out Your blood, as it were, as You already have in Your Son, Jesus Christ, and cleanse us of our sin, and sanctify us for Your sake and for Your praise and glory, that we would live, be as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing and acceptable in Your sight, that Your kingdom would advance to the ends of the earth, and that Your name would be proclaimed. And Father, this day we praise You and thank You that we're able to be here. We're thankful to be in the presence, not only of each other, but before Your very throne, with the general assembly and the many saints have been made perfect, the myriads of angels. Father, what a great blessing this is, because there are many who are in their sins and would refuse the privilege of coming. And Father, how blessed we are and how humble we ought to be. Out of all people, as sinful as we are, You called us to come to Your throne. Now, Father, we do pray and ask for Your help this day for our congregation. We pray for our bodies that You would cleanse them of our sin, but also cleanse them of ailment and pain and struggle. If there's any cancer or virus or whatever it might be, we pray that You would cleanse us of all of our bodily ailments and heal us and strengthen us in our bodies to serve You, as we pray also for our souls. We pray for, again, just as we prayed in the last service, we pray for the Winchester congregation, which had a few people who have gotten the virus. We pray for them as they're not worshiping today. You would uphold them and encourage all of them, especially those with the virus. And that You would heal them of their sicknesses and illnesses. Father, we praise You for the Denison congregation and the call that they've made. We pray that everything of that call and Caleb Allen coming and his exams and his ordination, all that, or his installation, that all of that would go according to your will, and it would be for the blessing of your church and the expansion of your kingdom. We pray that you would raise up a man to fill the pulpit in Columbia, and a pastor there, as well as the Las Vegas congregation and Oklahoma City, and even that beginning work in Houston. We pray for all these little congregations looking for pastors or wanting to be a church plant of some sort. Father, we ask that you would provide the consistent preaching of your word in these places. And then, Father, we do pray for our own selves that you would keep us from false teaching. You would keep us from error. You would keep us from those who would come in like wolves or false teachers who would divide the church. And even people who just are always focused upon what we are not instead of what we are in Christ Jesus. We pray that we would be holy, though, and that we would be gracious and love one another, as we've heard in Romans 12, and yet also bold in our love for truth, and so pursuing unity in the church. Father, we ask that you'd sanctify all of us. For some here, there are soon to be marriages or soon to be coming of age to pursue marriage. Father, we pray for these young men and women that you would uphold them and grow them in faith, that their marriages would be a blessing and an imaging forth of Christ in the church. As we pray for all of those married here already, pray for our children, that you would grow them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that you would even of those in the womb bring them forth with healthy and with faith in your Son Jesus Christ. Send your Spirit and do your great work in them. And then, Father, we do pray for those older amongst us who no longer have children in the home, that you would uphold them and give them those opportunities, even with grandchildren, to minister the word and teach them your ways and testify of the goodness that is found in Jesus Christ, and to be godly servants and prayers, especially prayers of the congregation for us all. Father, we pray that as we continue worshiping you, as we consider ourselves, as we hear you speak, Father, where we have sinned, turn us from our sin. And where we have done good because of your Son Jesus Christ and his righteousness and by your Spirit, Lord, let us praise your name and not boast in ourselves. And all these things we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.